2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Okay.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Another edition of the program. You can always find any of our episodes wherever podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all those things. Plus, you can just go to the KSLSports.com website and find yourself the podcast tab there. Click on it, find Scott and I's mug on there, and then download any episodes of any of the shows we've had in the past. So, Scott, how you feeling at the Draper Annex of KSL these days? Everything good?
Or is it the side one? Which one did they put up there?
Wait, say it again. I didn't hear that last part. What happened? You clicked off. Was it?
No, I didn't do anything.
Oh, okay. Well,
you clicked me off. You dumped me.
I did not dump you. You did. Get out of here.
You're dumping.
Don't cuss, and it won't happen. All right.
My mugshot on the website. Is it the front facing mugshot,
or
is it the one where I'm turned to the side?
No, it's turned to the right. It's the old Raising Arizona one. So, Bill Riley, voice of the Utes, joining us here on the program, voice of University of Utah, voice of RSL, and you got a lot of pies in the oven that are waiting to be baked. Though we haven't turned the ovens on totally yet, Bill. So thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, I think we've got to heat the oven up, though, now. I think now we've got to, like, we're preheating the oven right now. We've not put anything quite in yet, but we're preheating the oven a little bit.
So everybody looks at the NBA move that was ratified today with the 29-1 vote with the owners, and everybody looking at that setup of the 22 teams, 8 games, then you get into the playoffs. It's convoluted, certainly, but no one cares because we're getting back to playing. What has the NBA's move done, possibly in other leagues or in the NCAA, to be able to look and say, hey, let's get this thing going? Or do people just go, nope, we're independently moving forward and trying to figure our own stuff out? Or do they use the NBA as an example?
I don't know. It's weird because we're like still 2 months away. They've announced all this stuff. They haven't played in 3 months, and we're still 2 months away from playing, which feels like forever.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, like Major League Soccer announced earlier this week, you know, they're going to be in training camp and 3 weeks, and then they're going to play games 2 weeks after that. So they're going to be going July like 8th, and the NBA is still not going until July 31st. So it's weird. It's good that they're coming back, and I think they're probably – I think what we haven't heard from the NBA is the financial side of it. I think they've worked all the beats out. Now they've got to figure out – because they didn't finish their full season. They got to figure out TV money and regular season and then the playoffs. But, I mean, I love what they're doing, and I love the little playoff – play-in format for the 8-9 seeds there. I think that's great, too. But I kind of think everybody's kind of doing their own little thing. There might be some similarities, like soccer's going to be in Orlando, basketball's going to be in Orlando, but they're going to be there for like 6 weeks, and then they're going to come back to home stadiums. The NBA is finishing up there. I think we just assume football's full speed ahead. It's looking more and more like on-time starts, and we're going to go from there. So baseball, who knows? Those guys never seem to be able to get anything right, but I like what the NBA is doing. I just wish it was starting sooner rather than later.
Well, I think as you said that, this thought popped into my head about why the late start. There probably are some things that they have to work out in the logistics, giving the players plenty of time to cut, you know, to get ready for the season. But it also gives them the ability to have an out. You know, if this thing spikes back up or things change from now to then they can say, and they'll have a much, much clearer picture of what's actually happening around the country and the world with, you know, with the whole virus and is it under control and do we feel safe about things? So which leads me to my question, and this is kind of related to Utah football and the start of the season. So you have five Alabama players who now have tested positive after a workout. Does this type of thing concern you? Because this question is really for Alex, Bill, and that is Alex is concerned that the BYU-Utah game is not going to happen this year.
I am very negative. I'm low on this one. I'm not buying yet that this game is even going to be close to happening.
Seriously?
I mean, even though things are coming back, I mean, I wanted to, but I'm just telling you, I have people in my neighborhood. I have a couple, and you know this too. There is all that we've talked to Mark Harlan and everything's like, well, you know, we don't know yet. And there's this attitude of, well, we don't need that game. And so who cares anyway? Let's just get to the Pac-12 games. I don't want that at all. I want that September 3rd. Let's figure it out.
Well, no, they want to play all 12 games. I think that the conference-only model was like a worst-case scenario. But I think what we're seeing now is all these schools, and we may end up seeing Utah do it. Stanford did it this week. These others, they're all starting their fall calendar in early August, not mid-August, not late August. Classes are starting like that first week of August. They want to get the semester over because everybody's worried about the bounce back, if there is one, in November,
right,
December. So I think they're going to start this thing on time, and they want to get, I mean, Utah of all places, they want to have that game. They want to have people in the stands if they can, but they want to get as many of those games in. So, you know, don't be a negative Nelly, Alex. Don't be that guy.
Alex,
all 12 and starting 91 days.
I'm insecure. My Ute neighbors are all going, yeah, I'm going to move on past that game. I don't think we need it. Nobody wants to get sick in that game. They're not going to play that game. You know, all the people who act like they have a friend that they – Mark Harlan is number one on their speed dial. They act like, oh, yeah, we have lunch all the time. And then they go, oh, I've already heard they're not playing that game. And you're like, don't do this to me. The state doesn't need that game. We've talked about it before. But right now, we all need the very first football game to go off as soon as possible. No fans, fine. No media in the booth. You guys, you calling it at your house and Scott calling it at his house, fine. I don't know what that looks like, but – what does that look like?
We'll socially distance, but we're calling it from Rice-Eccles Stadium. He's going to be at the far end of the booth, and our booth is big. You've been in that booth before, Alex. We got plenty of room to socially distance.
Now, hold on, but what are the spotters going to do? What about spotters, statisticians? What are you guys going to do?
Well, the statisticians can sit in the back of the room. Spatafore's in the back. Plus, he's in that weird age group, too, so I worry about him. But anyway.
But you're also, listen, and I'm in the same category, too. We're loud people, and that is more respiratory droplets. I guess if you got that glass in front of you, you're okay. Just can't face Scott.
No, I'll turn the other way. I'll spittle all over the window. We'll be okay.
He'll turn the other cheek.
The game's going to – Alex, I really do believe that, unless there's something that changes greatly, I think that they're going to get all their regular season games. Their full intention is to play the full 12-game schedule with fans, without fans. I don't think we're going to know that answer until probably August, when we get a little bit closer. But I think the intention is to do it, and I think the way we're trending right now is that we've got a really good chance to play that game.
Oh, good.
And don't let your Ute neighbors influence you. They want to win. They want to make it 10 in a row against BYU.
For sure.
And so do I, and so does Scott.
We were talking about how I don't care what goes on. Get these games going. I mean, no fans, it'll be weird. I watched some of these Bundesliga games, and it sounds really weird. It sounds like a scrimmage situation. It's just echoey. You hear the coach yelling every word across the field. And this is high level sports, and these are the top athletes of their field. And you go, oh, it's really echoey. It's fine. You have to convince yourself that it's a real game. Fine. I like the prospect of it looking weird, sounding a little bit different. Let's get through the game. Let's figure out how to do it. Bill Riley joins us here on KSL's Unrivaled. Bill, Alabama players, five of them today, at least five is what it says, that have been diagnosed with coronavirus after about 50-person group workout over the last couple of weeks. This has to concern coaches, but to what level, and what do you learn from this, and then how do you change that happening at any of these other collegiate schools anywhere else?
Well, if we thought that nobody was going to come down with this virus when we're getting things back together, that's just life.
Right.
People are going, this isn't being eradicated. Even when we get a vaccine, this thing's not going to be eradicated. It's going to be around. Now, with that being said, the test group are some of the most fit athletes on God's green earth, and they're in a non-threatening age group. So these kids are probably either asymptomatic or showing very few symptoms. But there's going to be kids that get sick. The question is, how do you deal with it once it happens?
Yeah, that was my question, because is there a uniform policy about, hey, if a player tests, they have to be isolated, they're out, they can't play, and you have a really good player and you have a really big game, do you not report that? Is it independent? Because, you could certainly see teams going, hey, well, we'll kind of look the other way on this one because this guy's too valuable for us.
No, because I think if people find that – I mean, I know that that's human nature, but I think if people find out that's the case and the chance that you would expose other people, I think it's too great. I think you treat it like an injury and you quarantine those folks is what you do. You know, if somebody contracts it the week of a game, you just have to treat it like they pulled their hamstring and they're out for the next 7 to 10 days, and then you treat them and hopefully get them back. The worst-case scenario here would be if you find that out, if somebody tests positive and you try to hide it and let them play. That kid may be okay, but there may be two or three other kids that might not have the same immune system, or that kid then goes to class, or that kid interacts with his grandma on game day or something else. There's too many negative. There's not enough upside, and there's too much downside for one particular player, even if it's, say, your starting quarterback. I just think people are going to be uber sensitive to it. And frankly, too, you know, that could be something where if a coach or a trainer or a doctor tried to hide that and it got out, that could cost them their job.
Yeah.
Bill Riley, voice of the Utah Utes, joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled. We appreciate it, Bill. And stay safe out there. And, yes, warm the ovens up. Let's get this thing going. Let's get the sports played again. And we appreciate you joining us for another week. And we'll talk to you again next week, man.
I'm hoping one of these days. I had food to bring down tonight to the show. I was going to bring pizza and wings, and we were going to sit around and talk sports. But you told me I'm not allowed in KSL.
Not only that, so. Scott's not even allowed. That's the kind of weird. That's kind of weird life we're all in right now.
That just Scott's means more for you and me, Alex.
I just say, Bill, come to my house, and we'll do it while we talk to Alex. We can do that.
That's
got
to pull up.
I've got an extra headset. Let's do it, Scotty.
All right.
Taking the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.